The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Why does God save only those who believe in Him? That's the question we're going to tackle on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. Right now, we're taking questions from listeners all over the world, and we're doing our best to answer them. Today's question should bring a very interesting discussion. Now, before we get to that, I want to remind you about our National Bible Conference, which is coming up very soon. You can learn more about that by going to faithalone.org and clicking on events. Let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
All right, welcome to the show. Are you guys ready to put your thinking caps on?
You're talking to them.
Yes.
You're not even talking to me.
But yeah, you too.
I'm ready.
But everybody.
I'm ready with my thinking.
Are you ready for some thinking? I have a buddy from Montreal. He said the other day, sometimes he follows the conversations on my Facebook wall and other places. And he's like, man, you guys are talking about theological stuff that I've never even considered before. You know, and I'm pretty well read, and I've never even thought about this stuff before.
Yeah.
And I think that's one advantage of this show. I mean, we're talking about things that are, some of these are easy questions, but some of these are hard questions.
Exactly.
Hard questions.
And that's a challenge.
Like, here's a bunch from Hunter. Hunter says, I can't thank you guys enough for your channel. And he's talking about our YouTube channel. By the way, check it out. We should be doing videos, new videos soon. And regularly, I think we found a solution that might work for us to do good quality videos, but we'll see.
It's called an iPhone 13 Plus.
It's called
Pro.
Sean's
iPhone 13
but
Pro
maybe,
Plus.
Well, maybe it'll be GS's iPhone. We'll see. It's been a huge help to me. Well, I'm glad to hear that, Hunter. I mean, we do want that channel to be a blessing to people. It's the best channel there is. Hey, thank you for that, Hunter. That means a lot to us. So here's the number one. Here's his first question. He has six questions.
All right.
Now, he loves us, so we might as well try our best to answer those
questions.
Right.
Okay? All right. Number one.
Why does God only save those who believe in him? Or in other words, why does faith make the difference? So I interpret this question this way. Why did God set that as the condition? Out of all the different ways God could have saved people, and he could have just decided to save everyone. Out of all the different alternatives God had, why did he decide to save people through faith? I don't think there's an explicit... Is there an explicit answer in Scripture? I'm not sure.
No, I don't think so, but I'm not sure of what you just said either. I mean, so, I'm not sure that God could have saved people any old way.
He's sovereign, so he could have chosen different ways of saving people.
I don't
people.
Know, because even though God's sovereign, there are lots of things the sovereign can't do. Like, he can't
right.
lie, for example.
That's true.
He can't create a round square, or he can't create a rock too big for him to move.
Sure.
So the sovereign is limited by reason, logic, and is there some embedded theology in the Godhead that meant it had to be by faith in Messiah?
Yeah,
I guess that's the case.
Could only have been by faith. That's the
right.
only way.
I tend to think so.
Oh, why is that? What about God would make that true?
Well, first of all, that's what he chose, or that's what is. I don't know if he chose it. It may simply be
is. It sounds like you're saying he doesn't choose it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. You
is
know,
it imposed upon God from something
what's
else?
What's it called in Calvinist theology, the Ordo Salutis? You know, they talk about the order of salvation.
Yeah, yeah.
And in their mind, God in eternity past had certain decrees.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
these
yeah.
decrees determine everything. But I wonder if forever, I mean, obviously God's omniscient, so there was never a point at which God decided, okay, we're going to give eternal life to those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but we could have done it a different way. No, they never decided that. It just was.
Oh, that's deep. That's
you don't
interesting.
Think? I mean, it seems
no,
to me, if God's omniscient, God knew everything before time began. He's always
yeah.
known everything.
See, it's hard to apply before and after, you know, with God. That's a
right.
whole other question all on its own.
Right.
How does he relate to time? I guess that would apply to everything then. God couldn't have done anything differently because he foreknew everything. So he's just kind of, he's as trapped as everyone else. Everything that's happened is going to happen.
Well, I don't know if you call it trapped, but
he doesn't have any freedom. He doesn't have any choice about it.
Well, his omniscience is influenced by circumstances. For example, he created Adam and Eve.
Yeah.
And there was the possibility that they might not sin and that there be no death in the human race and no need for the Lord Jesus to die on the cross.
Yeah,
but God knew that wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, so what kind of possibility is that?
Yeah. I mean, as soon as they sin, Genesis 3:15, God tells them about the cross right away.
Well, in a very vague way. All right,
he doesn't specifically say exactly how like the seed of the serpent is going to bite the heel of the, you know, the seed of the woman.
Well, yeah.
We're not exactly told what that means, but that's the cross in light of all of biblical theology, and God knew it, and God was telling him.
Right.
But, yeah, in answer to your question, it seems to me that God sometimes does change what he has announced he would do.
Yeah.
For example, the Ninevites, 40 days, and then comes destruction. But that didn't happen because there was an implicit escape clause, unless you repent. But it wasn't stated.
Right.
And they went ahead and repented, and it says God relented of that which he'd planned. Of course, that's a figure of speech because God already knew what he was going to do.
Yeah.
Even when he announced 40 days and then the judgment, he knew that wasn't going
to
happen.
Yeah, it's hard. It kind of makes the scripture out to be kind of lying about God.
Well, I think there's a couple of good articles by Bob Chisholm.
Yeah.
And he has some articles on God's omniscience and the fact that some statements in Scripture are conditional, even though there's no condition stated.
Yeah.
And I think that's the answer. But
okay, I'm going to throw out an idea. You tell me what you think about this. I don't know. I think God probably could have chosen lots of different ways. He didn't need to be a Jew. He could have been a descendant of Ishmael.
Who didn't need to be
Jesus, the Messiah. He could have chosen some other son or some other person. He didn't have to choose Abraham. He could have chosen someone else.
Right.
Someone in China or someone in India or whatever. Here's why I think faith alone is appropriate, because it means that all the glory goes to the Messiah.
Right.
All the glory of salvation goes to him.
Right.
It means you don't get to claim any of the glory for yourself, and it all goes to Jesus for saving people.
Well, Ephesians 2:8-9 seems to bring that out.
Yeah.
Not as a result of works, lest anyone should boast. There's no ground for boasting. Or Romans 4:4-5. It's not a debt that God owes. It's simply a gift that God gives by his grace.
Yeah. And yet faith allows for a personal response to God. So it's like some type of, it is a genuine relational response to him, but it doesn't have any merit or worth. So you still have the relationality, but all of the glory goes to Jesus, maybe.
Well, I mean, all that makes sense on why this is the way it is.
Yeah.
But the Bible doesn't
really
tell us if there was some other way that could have been.
Well, I mean, Romans 2?
Oh, 14.
14.
Yeah.
Hypothetically, it could have been by works.
Right.
Right? That offer was almost on the table, or is it on the table?
The problem is then the only human in the kingdom would have been the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah. All right, second question. And this is, you thought that was hard. This one's hard.
Oh, they're getting harder?
Yeah. Why did God create people who wouldn't believe in him? You talked about foreknowledge. Why would God create someone that God knew is not going to believe in Jesus? What's the point? Why? I mean, that creature's going to suffer forever.
Well, the way I look at it, God chose this method because it's the best. From his perspective, which is the right perspective, there is no better universe. There is no better plan for humanity. If God had simply created people who would end up believing, and then all the rest he simply eliminated by not having them born, that wouldn't have been the best plan. If it was the best plan, God would have done it that way. So, Hunter, I'd say I fall back on the sovereignty of God and the omniscience of God, the justice of God, the wisdom of God. This is the best way, even though we don't get it. See, part of the problem we have is, I think, we look at it like somehow God should have done it in such a way that everybody gets into the kingdom.
Right.
But since God didn't do it that way, that's not the best way.
Yeah.
And I don't fully understand it, but I do grasp the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ makes it possible for everybody to be saved. And the ones who aren't are the ones who reject the gift of life.
Yeah.
So I accept that, even though I realize it's a hard question. He's got four more. Are they all like this?
Yeah, I guess the classical answer is he didn't want robots. He could have created robots, but he didn't. He created creatures with free will, and if you create a creature with free will, you risk having them reject you. So in order to have a universe of creatures who genuinely love him, they had to have the freedom to choose not to love him. But I think we've discussed the problem to that classical answer before. What do you do about the people in heaven? Aren't we going to have free will in heaven, or do we become robots?
Well, that's a good question. Did Jesus have free will?
Yeah, did Jesus have free will?
Sure.
That's another.
But he couldn't sin.
Then I guess he didn't have free will then.
Well, let's put it this way. If you had your choice, would you rather sin or not sin?
I'd rather not sin.
Okay, yeah. So your free will is that you don't ever want to sin again.
Yeah, if
so
I had
therefore,
a choice.
So therefore, eternity future is going to be exactly what we want. We're getting what we want. We're getting free will.
Well, we're getting the result of that choice or that preference, I guess.
Okay, but here's the problem, Sean.
Yeah.
This view of eternity future is flawed because it assumes that in eternity future, every believer is always going to be making the best choices. I don't see it that way. I
yeah.
see it that in eternity future, every believer will make choices that are obedient,
okay,
not disobedient.
So maybe more good, better, best.
Yeah, but they're not all going
but
to be the
bad,
best choices.
But not bad choices.
Yeah, I mean, we may make a wrong turn and end up in the boonies somewhere and be flying around in our spacecraft or whatever it is, and we're like, this is frustrating.
Right.
Because we might experience, read the book, The Omega Reunion, we were just talking about
yeah,
it earlier
yeah.
today, and he's got people in eternity.
Who's the author?
Frank Carmichael.
Frank Carmichael, yeah.
And we've also got a couple articles by him on our website. He wrote about Coronation of the King, I think it's called.
Okay.
I guess what I'm saying is we're going to be free to be who we really want to be forever.
There's still choice. There will be choice in heaven even if there isn't choice to sin.
Yeah, and of course, we're talking new earth, really, because once the resurrection occurs, we won't be in heaven anymore.
I slip into that my Baptist
that's
Christianese.
Okay. Oh, you got some Christianese. I
oh,
thought
yeah.
that was a type
it's
of
my,
dog or
it's
something.
My third language. All right, Hunter has four more questions for us, and I think we'll ask maybe a couple more in the next episode because they're interesting questions. Not easy to answer, but from the Bible.
So far, I feel like I fumbled the ball.
No,
and
I like it.
It's been run back the other way by the other team. It's a pick six.
I don't know what that means, but
you,
you
don't
sports,
know a pick
you guys,
six.
If you
okay.
listen to sports, you understand
you know
what, he
what
just
a pick
said.
Six. Yeah.
All right, guys, keep on listening and tune in for the next show.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Are you interested in finding other free grace believers just like yourself in your area? Well, you can do that by going to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And on the website, we have a church tracker. It's an easy-to-use map that will help you locate those other free grace churches that might be in your area. So come visit us at the website and take advantage of our free church tracker. It's at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. There are a lot of costs involved in staying on the air. That's why we so much appreciate our financial partners. If you'd like to learn how to become one, you can find out more by going to faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about what will happen to those who have no rewards in heaven. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.